episode 216 of the Canes Cast. We're coming to you live on location. It's summer camp for you, Shane.
Well, the kids have been great all week long, Mike. We just finished off with Super Friday, and what a game. There's some future superstars growing up here in Raleigh.
Oh, I saw them, and I agree with you. There was some talent on display here as far as the hockey culture in Raleigh, North Carolina, the Triangle goes. Shane, you deserve a Storm Brew for all of your efforts that you've done to help raise this, just like we thank Storm Brew, who is the official sponsor of this podcast, brought to you by R&D Brewing. Storm Brew, 97 calories, 2.4 carbs. And when you have done something good in your life, you should toast yourself with a Storm Brew.
Well, I'd love one. That's all I really expect. You know, if someone was to hand me a nice cold Storm Brew, I'd appreciate it. The thank yous that the kids gave this week as they left, I mean, that's really all I need, Mike, because the smiles on their faces, the hard work they really put in. We just had 60 kids here for a week here at the Invisalign Arena, and really the effort and commitment that we had from this group all week was just exceptional to see. And it, you know, as a coach, that's all you want. And that really is what fires you up on a daily basis to get here, because you know you have a group of kids that are fully invested in learning and trying to become better. So just an awesome week here to kick off the summer. It's only week one of four, so we're getting ready for a few more.
Yeah, I appreciate it because it's summer camp for me. I get to call these games, and the skill level, if you'll allow me, from what, about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, when I did my first one of these, calling the games for the kids here for the Super Friday, the skill level, you just see it gets better every year, Shane. And that's part of the culture, but it's also kids growing up with the game, wanting to play it, starting to play it a little bit more, having avenues, having more venues, better venues like here, the Invisalign Arena at the Weight Competition Center, where you can play and continually get better. It's fun to watch. It really, truly is.
Yeah, there's no question that the resources that these kids now have at their fingertips has grown the past few years. The facilities continue to improve. The coaches, again, bringing everything they can to each and every practice. And I think the success of the Canes and what guys like Sebastian Aho, Andre Svechnikov, Teuvo Teravainen, and Jacob Slavin, Brett Pesce, what these guys do each and every night on the ice inspires these kids. I remember growing up in Alberta, and of course I was a fan of the Oilers and the dynasty and Wayne Gretzky and Mark Messier. These are the guys you watch, and these are the guys you dream about playing with and putting on that jersey. And these kids now have that culture here in Raleigh, and as you mentioned, it's just so awesome to watch.
You know, it's let me just get this one out of the way.
If you like it, you can take it. If you don't, send it right back.
No, I know I've asked you about this, and I think it's going to happen, about a first-round pick eventually coming from Raleigh, coming from this area, a kid who grew up here. But seeing the Canes are coming up on their 25th anniversary of being in North Carolina, what I'm going to throw at you is the hockey scene in this state, you can now put up with the quote-unquote traditional markets. Now, I mean, there's going to be some places like where you grew up in Canada where you get certain built-in advantages. You know, you can play on the pond in the wintertime and all that. But the hockey, at least as the culture goes, because there's a generation now. You know, there's 25-year-olds who they're going to start having a family who have grown up with hockey. So the culture is where you've seen it grow. It's right where it should be.
Yeah, I'm taking that all day long, Mike. And it's such a big part of that. And 25 years ago, as you mentioned, as we get ready to embark on this season with the Carolina Hurricanes organization, the words non-traditional do not exist.
Thank you. Oh, excuse me.
Thank you.
Do not exist anymore in this city. I mean, for someone to come in here and say, oh, you know, do you guys really like hockey? You're crazy to say this city is not all in, bleeding red for the Carolina Hurricanes, game in and game out. And as you said, it rivals the other National Hockey League cities. And that's why the NHL is so happy that this franchise is here.
Yeah.
Did it take time? Sure. But 25 years ago, Peter Carmano saw an area that was going to continue to grow and would grow into and falling in love with the sport of hockey. And he started building that. The organization continued to build and grow, and so many pieces have changed over the years, but they've changed for the better, and everyone at the helm right now continues to push that envelope even further each and every year.
Yeah, and I mean, I got here in 2007, and I've seen it grow in the 15 years that I've been here exponentially. You know, it just keeps getting better and better, and, you know, again, More people grow up with it. It's not a, oh, this isn't our thing. It was moved here. Now it is people who live, especially in the Triangle. It's their thing. It's fun to watch. And that's why these camps are great. Speaking of the camps, I know they're sold out at this point, right, Shane? So there's no shoehorning somebody in. But if people want to get their kids involved, like we can use this for the opportunity. If people want to get their kids into a camp, what other things are happening this summer where maybe they can get somebody involved with skating or skills, or is there anything like that where you guys have some more programs going on with the community reach as far as what the Hurricanes do growing the game here?
Yeah, our 4 weeks, and we talk about kids loving the game and getting back involved, is sold out faster than we've ever had them sell out. The first goal program will kick off, which is also sold out. So when you look at amount of kids who are interested in the sport and the parents that want to get involved in a culture, and you talk about a family culture where people can enjoy it together, that's this sport to the fullest. I think our great partnership with all the facilities here runs so many different opportunities. If you have to learn to skate, if you want to come to a hockey camp, the Polar Ice facilities continue to offer those above and beyond what we offer from a Canes organization. And as we get into this summer and as I look to continue to kind of revamp up staffing, because everyone and every organization continues to come out of COVID in different scenarios, and I think adding more people back in a staffing area gives us opportunity and myself a little more time maybe to put on a few more of these things late in the summer through the season, giving young people involved and our adults. I know there's a lot of adults out there to listen to the podcast, and I get emails all the time. They're like, okay, enough with the kids. When are the adult camps coming back? Because we had them rolling very strong before the pandemic hit. So I know there's a lot of our adult players out there who are ready to get back in some skill sessions to continue to improve their game.
Well, I just need to bring this up. If you ever need somebody to be a road cone for you, I'll be there for the adult camps. Also, full transparency, Shane and I recorded a complete episode of Canes Cast. This is 216 part two. We did it late. I think we went 90 minutes.
Yeah, it was a long one.
We went for a long haul on this one. And then when we went to load it up, we put our best person on it. I'm going to blame Walt Ruff on this one. It didn't load. We got the dreaded, there was a corrupt file and we error. Couldn't load this. Yeah, so.
I mean, I unplugged it and plugged it back in and it didn't work. That's all I got. My only move.
I unplugged it for 10 seconds and plugged it back in.
It was over a week ago. I mean, we ripped apart the coaching carousel, looking to give young guys a shot. I said I just wanted to be in a role that if I got fired, I'd instantly get hired in a month, making the same amount and maybe a longer-term deal.
Right.
I mean, because that's the NHL coaching carousel.
And
it is one of the most solid positions you could be in.
Once you're a head coach, you know that you're always going to have an opportunity to
you're
be a head
set.
Coach. You're
all set. As of today, I mean, the San Jose Sharks just fired Bob Bugner.
So
who are they going to bring in?
Well, somebody who's coached somewhere before. But
some teams have hired assistant coaches. You see that? Yeah. The Detroit Red Wings making a little splash.
Which, if you're thinking about that, why not go from a championship caliber team? Why not? That's to me, if you're going to do that and give guys shots, either we've talked about it and I think we can revisit it. And it's going to be on two fronts and it's going to fold me into something where I'm going to go off on a rant.
I love it.
But if you're going to try to do something outside of the box, I love what Montreal did with Martin St. Louis.
Go way outside the box.
It's like, we know he's never been a head coach before, but you know what he's been? A Hall of Fame hockey player. Mm. Pretty sure he knows the game.
Pretty talented guy.
And coaching today, it's not what it used to be. It's not where it was. I'm going to rule this, and you got to do everything that I say you got to do. You know, because you're teaching it with the kids who are playing. There's a different way to get through to the players now. Mm. We've discussed this before on Canes Cast, Shane. But if I'm going to go the route of a coach, give me an assistant coach who hasn't been a head coach, but he's been an assistant under John Cooper, or he's been an assistant under guys who've won. Like, give me those guys. Mm. You know, it doesn't always work out, because if we can use the NFL, Bill Belichick hasn't exactly, you know, put out a ton of great assistants that have gone on to be great head coaches, but certain head coaches have churned out assistants who turn out to be really good at the job. So give me an opportunity for a guy who, all right, I'm going to give you the reins and we'll see if it goes. And, you know, if you're Steve Yzerman, you also have to think he knows that Tampa Bay system really well, and Derek Lalonde.
Yeah.
He knows him. You got to figure that there's a relationship there. And, all right, give me that guy. Don't give me somebody who's had a bunch of chances and hasn't done anything. Give me a guy. Like, and it's funny because I don't want to talk out of both sides of my mouth on this one, Shane, but I love the Paul Maurice fit for Florida because he has taken teams to the Stanley Cup final. He's taken a team to the Stanley Cup final. He knows how to – he has changed as a coach over the years, as you know, from when he coached you to the coach he is now. But he might be that voice. All right, Brunette didn't, you know –
for whatever reason, that didn't work.
Well, it was the playoffs.
It was surprising.
It was the playoffs. I mean, you look at that. I think if you look at Florida, they looked at what happened. Oh, God, if Tom Wilson doesn't get hurt, do we get knocked out in the first round from Washington? Mm. And then John Cooper in Tampa knocked out Florida. So Florida looked at this as we need that veteran coach who knows how to push buttons in the playoffs when you get a team there. Because one thing Paul Maurice has done, he's taken teams to conference finals. He took Winnipeg to the Western Conference final. He took the Canes to it in 09. So you go from there. But then it's when you start seeing these names, you're like, this guy didn't win anywhere. This guy hasn't won. Those are the names when you're like, can we think outside of the box?
The other tweet we saw, I mean, it looks like the Bruins may be turning to Jim Montgomery,
yep.
Who's been a head coach, was assistant coach the past couple years. So, and again, it's all about the GM also finding a little bit of chemistry with their new head coach, right? Are we on the same page? Do we think the same way? And do we see this team the same way? And that factors in. They do interview process just like any other job. But as you mentioned, if a team's going to go outside the box, like, I mean, jump way outside and see what happens.
Yeah.
What do you got to lose?
If you're already losing, nothing. You know, that's it.
Right. Some of these teams can't get any worse.
And again, it's a results-oriented business. But if you watched how Montreal played before and then after Marty St. Louis, it was day and night. And this is going to sound so simplistic, Shane, but you played it at this level. It is a job. It is a business. There is a ton of hard work that goes into it. But because of all of that goes into it, when you play the game, it has to be fun. The teams that have fun when they're playing are the ones that generally are going to win more
especially
than the ones
teams
where it's
that
miserable.
Are loaded with young kids.
Right.
Like Montreal was.
Yep.
You know, Detroit.
Like Detroit will be and is.
You got to have an energy that these kids want to come running in and go through a wall. And
like
it's a
the Carolina Hurricanes 4 seasons ago.
Correct. And when really every season since then. Because I think Rod, when you talk about the good coaches and what Rod does so well, is he relates to the players.
That's it.
He's been a player. He knows how to talk to them. He respects them. It's not smashing trash cans, running around. It's an expectation and a standard that we've heard the great Bill Burnison talk about.
Yep.
Inside that locker room, this is our standard. We're not going to yell at you.
Yeah.
You want to be a part of this or not? Because it's a great thing to be a part of. And the guys that came in this year talked about that and how fun it was to be in a locker room. Sure, it's hard work. But hard work's fun.
Yeah.
When you go to battle with a team of 20 guys and come in and sweat and push and work, that's fun. And that's how you have to look at it. I mean, sometimes there is a grind. It's not that fun, but that's what the teammates are for, and for a coach to see it and be like, all right, what do we do today to kind of re-energize and liven things up a little bit.
Yeah. If I could paraphrase Tom Hanks from A League of Their Own, the heart is what makes it great.
Mm.
Because if anybody could do it, it wouldn't be as special as it is. So when you can get in that room and get to that level, that's why I'm with you. The guys, you can only have the guy who's throwing a trash can and flipping over the Gatorade table so many times before.
And there,
you
are
know, players tune it out.
There are certain moments maybe when that works, when it's like right sideways and you need to get some eyes widened up a little bit, but it's not really needed. And it's about I go back to relating again. And when you talk about champions, they're the ones that want to work every day.
Yep.
That's what makes a champion. If you're a guy that's like, nah, you know what? It's kind of tired. That means you're not a champion. Right?
Right.
If you watched when Tampa Bay lost game 6 against the Avs just this last week, the camera went to the hallway. Vasilevskiy smashes his stick on the wall going down. He was livid. That's what a champion is. The next day they get up and be like, start working out now.
Yep.
We want to be back. We want to be on top of the mountain, not on the second shelf. So
that leads me to when you're talking about champions and the guys who are on top of the mountain, we've already said the name, it's Rod Brind'Amour. The NHL announced, or excuse me, the Hockey Hall of Fame, not the NHL, announced their new class. I don't have any problem with anybody who got in. If you get in the Hall of Fame, if you're even in consideration for it, you've had a career where there are some guys you can look at and say, maybe not, but you take a look at the Sedin twins who get in. You get a look at Roberto Luongo who gets in. They're players you make the case. Okay, they had fantastic careers. Their numbers were great. International players get in, and the women's game is growing, and it's great to see women getting into the Hockey Hall of Fame. And then Herb Carnegie and the Builders, where that's long overdue. And you can't put everybody in the hall. I get it. But you played against Hall of Famers. You played with Hall of Famers. And I am going to ask you, what is missing from Rod Brindamore's resume that people look at this and say, that doesn't belong in Toronto in the Hall of Fame? Because, Shane, I have looked at it several times for a long time. It's now been 12 years since Rod Brindamore is retired. So it's not like he's going to score more goals. I don't know what more he could have done in his career. His playoff numbers are fantastic. He almost scored 500 goals. He played in almost 1,500 games. He had over 1,200 points. I don't know, or close to 1,200 points. I don't know what more he could do. He played for the 1996 World Cup of Hockey team in Canada, which that was the best hockey I ever saw in 96 for that tournament. 98, he was when the NHL was allowing players to go to the Olympics for the first time. He was on that Team Canada team in Nagano that had guys like Wayne Gretzky and Ray Bourque on that team and Mark Messier. I mean, he's in that era. He can play with them. He's captain, a Stanley Cup champion. The first ever goal he scored was in a playoff game in his first ever game with the St. Louis Blues. He had been to three cups as a player, one in Philly, two with the Canes, and got a win. He's been an all-star. He was a two-time Selke Award winner. He checks every box. And then, oh, by the way, off the ice is an even better person than he was a player, which that almost seems impossible to be. And you can tell me I'm wrong on this one. I think he was one of the guys who changed how players approach the offseason and approach the game because of how he worked out and just how he was about, I'm going to take care of myself. And, you know, you walk in the room and you're like, this guy's doing this. Maybe I have to start doing this. Or maybe change, you know, I'm not going to lay on the beach for a month and a half. Maybe I got to start working out a little bit more. He changed how players looked at fitness. I'm begging you as a guy who played in the league because you know this better than me. Why is his name not been called by the electors for the Hall of Fame?
Well, I wish I had the answer. And in no way would I argue anything that you just stated, because I think part of it goes back to what you mentioned at the end, that you and I know Rod Brindamore away from the rink. And to me, that's what races forward more than anything when you look at accolades in a guy's life and what a character, caring, respectful person he is off the ice. Not only, as you just mentioned, all the points he put up, all the hard work he put in, the Selke trophies he won, the Stanley Cup he hoisted here for the Canes. And I'm sure there is this argument going on in many cities, not only about Rod Brindamore, which we talk about here, but I guess the question I always go back to with the Hall of Fame, should they raise the number each year of guys that get in? You know, what are the criteria when you look at it? Because I don't think I've ever seen someone get in over Rod that had far less points or accolades in the argument.
Right.
And I mean, I tell you what, I don't want to sit in that room. I don't want to sit in the hall room and say, who you like better, this guy or this guy? Which guy should get in? Because I think it is probably the most difficult decision out of anyone, because there are numerous guys along with Rod that deserve that. Now, I truly believe when, you know, Rod shrugs it off, if you were to ask him about it, and I think you have before, because, you know, it's not who defines him as a person. He knows the career he's had. He knows how well he played. He knows the accolades he has. And to get your name put in the Hall of Fame, I think as a player is amazing. Mm-hmm. But every one of them knows it's only 4 or 5 each year, and it is a low percentage that you get in. So it does stink, because I'd love to see him in there. I'd love to see him get to step up on that stage and accept that because of what he's accomplished, what he continues to accomplish. And someone posed the question the other day of, you win a Stanley Cup now as a head coach. Does that put him over the edge?
But he should be in as a player. Bob Gainey is the guy. But now Bob Gainey, for people who don't know the name, was one of the best defensive forwards the NHL has ever seen. I think he has, let me go to the old computer.
the old iPhone.
His numbers are half of what the numbers are of Rod Brind'Amour. In fact, they are. Bob Gainey had 501 career points. Rod Brind'Amour had 1,184. But Gainey played for all those Montreal Canadian teams during the dynasty.
He's got how many cups? 4? 5?
That's, I mean, probably more than that. Hang on, I want to get this.
Any of the guys getting in? So
he's got 5 cups.
5 cups. When you look at the relevance of this year and the players that got in, obviously we can't consider Luongo. You look at the Sedin twins.
Yep.
Ton of points.
Yeah.
No Stanley Cups.
No. Somebody made the argument about the Sedin twins, though. They were the two best players on regular season. Take that for what it's worth. But 09, 010, 11, those seasons, Vancouver was the best team in the league. And Luongo was part of that team as well. But a ton of points. The fact that they came in as twins, were able to do what they did, you know, they're part of the game.
Who else got in?
I get that.
I'm blanking on the name right now for the player. I'm
getting that in right now. I had this all written out, and now we're on location. So,
left our notes at home.
Yeah, that does happen. Here we go.
The Finnish female player.
Yes, who, by all
Sedin,
accounts.
Luongo.
Let's see here. Why is this taking forever?
It's right on the tip of my tongue.
I can see it right here. I'm reading it right now. There are a few players who didn't get in. By the way, Daniel Alfredson, Ottawa.
Alfredson, there you go.
Thank you. Alfie, who's up there.
Well,
how
many points does Alfredson have?
Roberto Luongo, Daniel and Henrik Sedin, Daniel Alfredson, Riikka Salonen, and then Herb Carnegie. So yeah. Alfie's the other
how
one.
How many
who didn't
points
get
for
in.
Alfie?
I'll get that one right now for you.
Because this is a, to me, this is one you could sit and argue.
You could.
Right? No cups for Alfie. Correct?
Correct. But he did same, take Ottawa to the he took
same,
Ottawa to the cup.
Same position.
Center, correct. A little bit of a different era. He has fewer points than Rod Brind'Amour. He has 1,157.
Any Selkies?
Let's check out the awards for our good friend. I'm sure. Let's see. 6-time All-Star.
Okay.
He was the
probably got a few more there than Rod and All-Star.
He was the Calder Memorial Trophy winner, so he was the Rookie of the Year in 95-96. He won the King Clancy in 11-12, and then the Messier Leadership Award in 12-13.
Okay. So similar, less points. I think that's where if you're looking at, because we can go back, I mean, we can't go back every year and look at Rod's nominations and the battles against, because there were certain ones you're like, okay, he would lose that battle. But if you were going to sit here and look at this as class,
1184 for Rod, so
I would put him over Daniel Alfredson in my mind. That's me.
Alfredson, you can make the case he played fewer games in 18 years. He did, but Rod played 20 years, and you can say he's more durable. I just don't get this. This is the thing. And again, you can look at numbers. You can look at that. Rod Brind'Amour is more than numbers. He just is. And I don't know. There are certain things, if you want to get me off on a rant, about things that bother me. There are about 3 subjects in sports where I will just go, what are you thinking? But this is the one that I cannot think of the logical reason why Rod Brind'Amour is not enshrined in the Hockey Hall of Fame, because nobody's given me a good reason for it. When you look at the numbers, you look at what he's done. Is there one thing on the page, if I asked you, If he had 500 goals, he's in. So that's what's keeping him up. Well, there are guys who don't have 500 goals who are getting in. Yeah. But if I said, if you wrote his resume and you looked back over it and said, this is the thing that's not there. And that's the thing for me. Everything that needs to be in the hall is there.
Yeah. And I go back to the cup that they won here and what that team did and how his leadership and, you know, the play he had and the way he played that year, just the weight of that in winning that Stanley Cup. So I don't disagree with you.
He had one All-Star game, but I didn't realize.
I think we argued this last year.
And I hope we don't argue it next year, but this is an argument that needs to end, or this is a discussion that needs to be ended, and we need to start talking about him being in the Hockey Hall of Fame, period. I want someone to give me the rational answer why he's not in. And if you can explain it to me, then explain to me, well, Bob Gainey got in. Well, he played on five cup winners. Okay, different time, fewer teams. Habs were stacked.
Yeah.
And his points are less than half. Well, you know, other guys did this and this. Rod Brendan Moore.
Another guy that would, I mean, I played with this guy too. Dave Andrechuk had more points, more goals than Rod. Yeah. Only one cup.
But Andrechuk, I think, retired the all-time leader. Like, if you are the all-time leader in something, 90% of the time that gets you in. Andrechuk had 640 goals, 1,300 points.
That's a lot.
Played 23 years.
So that's over 500.
Time. Yeah. So way over 500.
Yeah.
In, like, power play goals, I think he had a million of them, to be honest with you. Because Ovechkin just passed him. He had 274 career power play goals. But Roddy was a power play specialist. Dave Andrechuk wasn't killing penalties, at least not for the majority of his career.
No.
Rod was.
Loved the power play, though.
Absolutely. Why wouldn't he? I just keep coming back to this, Shane. I have never been given the suitable answer as to why. And then what drives me crazy is when he gets in, well, what's changed? He hasn't played a game. So I just want to know what the people who are voting would look at that. And I like Daniel Alfredsson. Again, I hate this because when you have these conversations, you're always saying that, well, the Sedins or Luongo or Alfredsson don't deserve to be in. No, I'm not saying they don't deserve to be in. But I'm just saying, why has Rod Brind'Amour not gotten in before these people?
And I think when you look at the committee who makes these selections, like, what is their... like, what is their standard? What is their ranking systems do they go off of? I think if they publish that so everyone could see it and you could actually see the difference, like if Rod was 2.5 points behind Alfredsson, then you'd have answers and a lot clearer picture. And I think that's the hardest part for fans, whether you're a fan of Rod Brind'Amour or someone else who doesn't get in. Can you tell me why?
Well, yeah, I mean, you can, speaking of other players, Alex McGillney, Stanley Cup champion. He was the guy who changed the game because he was the defector who came across from Russia. Others were coming, but he was the guy who really kind of changed the game when he came across from Russia. Keith Tkachuk's not in. Jeremy Roenick's not in. I mean, those are guys you can make cases for. I get it. They're all these, but Brind'Amour is the one guy, as we're doing this here at Weight Competition Center in Invisalign Arena. He's holding the Stanley Cup in one picture that I'm looking at. The picture above you, Nick Vallien's jumping out of the building, and Rod Brind'Amour's on the ice. So it was a big goal that was scored for the Canes. So you can take your pick. It's got to be in the overtime when Nick Vallien scored in the playoffs. So he's on the ice for part of that. It frustrates me, Wilbur. I believe in things that should be fair. And you said it. Rod Brind'Amour won't talk about it. He won't say that he deserves to be in the Hall. That's not in his DNA. But I think we should say it for him. And I hope more people start banging the drum for him that he deserves to get in, because he does. And hopefully we don't have this conversation next year. Hopefully next year this time we're having him on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, talking about his Hall of Fame speech.
Exactly. I'll just wing it. It'd be better than 90% of the speeches given.
I mean, I'm sure he'd invite us, right? We get one of the seats? No?
I think you might get invited.
No chance.
If we're going pecking order, you're at least on the list to get crossed out.
I'm in the bar across the street. You're in the bar in Raleigh.
Yeah, exactly. You're at least in Toronto. He might even tell me go further south. But like I said, this is episode 216, part two. We took a lot of questions last week, and that's what led to our long podcast, and then it didn't get posted. So with that, we have a couple of questions. You want to go back and revisit them? Anything you want to answer?
We have a couple of new ones?
No, nothing new.
Oh.
Nobody knows our answers to the ones we did last week because it didn't show up.
I forget the questions. Go again.
All right. So this is a one of these.
If you like it, you can take it. If you don't, send it right back.
This comes from Howie. He wants to know, primary color of the Stadium Series sweaters will be black.
I'll take it. And I say that confidently, like I've seen it. I've not seen them. I have not.
I will send it back just because that way we have it covered.
Okay.
I'm
going to take it because I think they will go. I'd love to see like a blackout, black pants.
Sure.
Very little like red trim or something. Just sleek.
The only reason why I will send it back is because it's the Stadium Series game. Remember, this was supposed to happen 2 years ago.
Yep.
It's the 25th anniversary. Depending on other plans that are going on with the 25th anniversary celebrating the team, I could see them wearing a nod to the uniform.
A little vintage nod.
That they wore when they won the Stanley Cup or when they first moved. That's all I'm saying.
Sure.
So a vintage nod to that. That's
Hey, I'll go with a red out. Remember when they did that? Like the football teams do it every year.
Sure.
What do they call that? Color rush?
Yeah, color rush. Where,
I like that.
Oh, I'm. By the way, I'm for that. Like when the Canes play Tampa, red versus blue. You don't have to wear the white. You can wear the...
One exhibition game, it was Canes red,
Tampa blue,
yellow?
In Nashville yellow, yeah.
Liked it.
I'm for that. As long as you're both not wearing the same color.
Correct. Why not?
Go ahead and do it. I'm for that. So it brings a little flair to the game. A lot of people don't like talking about their
Spice
flair.
Spice it up.
This one comes through. So this was one that you and I went back and forth on. What would the first line, first D pairing, and starting goalie look like on the 25th anniversary team?
Oh, gosh.
Well, goalie, you and I are in agreement. Goalie is Cam Ward.
Got it. But then we talked about if you can only select the player in their position.
Yes. Like, you can't go three centers.
Like, you can't go Rod, Ron, and Eric Staal.
Right.
You have to pick one. Have fun with that.
In the first D pairing, this one, I mean, do you leave out Brett Hedekin? Do you leave out Glenn Wesley? Do you leave out Jacob Slavin, who's playing right now?
You had Jacob in, right?
I have Jacob in. And how about Justin Falk, who holds most of the Canes' offensive points for defensemen, offensive records for defensemen, at least he did.
Correct.
You know, is he a guy who's in there? You know, again, there are, for me, you know, Brett Hedekin's one of the best skaters in hockey history. And you know, you played with him. You played against him.
Yep.
The D pairing is way tougher than I thought it was going to be. And then,
well, the center ice position is tough.
Well, that's, again, you've got a Hall of Famer, a guy who should be in the Hall of Fame that we've just discussed in Rod Brendan Moore, and Eric Staal, who's going to be an interesting debate for the Hall of Fame based on his numbers and his career.
Who leads the Canes in other categories.
Yeah, and everything else. So, wingers, Ray Whitney, Corey Stillman.
Eric Cole. Justin
Williams. I know it's only been four seasons, and there's a lot to be written in his book. Andrei Svechnikov. I mean,
you could put Sebastian Aho in the mix for center.
You absolutely could. I still think that's one of those things. If we're talking about making a putt,
yeah,
maybe he is just outside of the we'll let you pick that one up to be in the conversation. But yeah, one more year like what he's had, leading the Canes in points for another consecutive year.
Horrible answer, but that's an unanswerable question.
How about Teuvo Teravainen with the points that he's been able to put up on the wing? No. I mean, just saying. I mean, I think of all of the wingers that have come through as well. Jeff Skinner has to be in the conversation for goal scorers.
You could stare at the whiteboard for days.
You know what? I'm going to take the easy way out. Stuart, we're going to go three centers. Have him play the wing. That way it's easy. Roddy, Ron, and Eric.
You're going to put Sebastian on D with Svech?
Well, we could draft the whole team. Maybe we'll do that.
Maybe we'll do that
when we get
time to
the 25th anniversary.
We'll need a whiteboard with some papers and stuff on it.
Speaking of Svech, this is from Carnivore Bro. What's up, bro?
Bruh.
When will Svech be unleashed and show us that elite offensive skill we know he has?
I remember talking about this because when will he unleash? I believe we rephrase the question.
Right.
Because he's unleashed. Rod's going to play him in every situation because we talked about how much he was on the ice at the end of games, getting more confidence and belief from his coach in those situations with some empty netters he scored. So when will he unleash and score? How many
He didn't say score and just be it. The question was be unleashed and show us the elite offensive skill that we know he has. He's shown us the elite offensive skill. First person ever to complete the lacrosse goal in the NHL. He's done it twice.
So remember, he's still 21 years old?
22
now. So just finished his fourth season. I mean, it's coming. He's still such a young man. And to me, I agree with you, Mike, that he has unleashed because we've seen it. Lacrosse, power play goals, rockets. What the unleash I'm looking for is just that consistency. game in and game out of that elite level goal scoring.
Yeah.
And that's a learning curve that only some have to skip, right? There's probably, what, 3 guys, 4 guys, maybe 5 that are came in and was just goal score.
Matthews. Matthews, McDavid are the 1 and 2 that come Ovechkin. Off the top. Yeah, Ovi right off the top.
From a shooting standpoint. Just, like goals.
Yeah, those are the...
Stamkos.
God, when you're saying shooting, I guess I would... I don't know if I would put McDavid on the list just for pure shooting, but
when you're talking about offensive potential. Ability,
Yeah, Stamkos is up there for a shooter. The funny thing is, also take this in mind. He just turned 22. Yeah, I think he's less than, he's 22 and like 97 days old at the time of recording this. But Shane, he played 2 of his seasons. One got stopped in the middle of it because of a pandemic, and the other one was 56 games. And not exactly he's still trying to have a full three seasons. Yeah, he's still trying to really figure out everything. And he's, I think, further ahead of the game than we had. And he had his best season ever, 30 goals, 39 assists.
And when you're in that position, too, you just mentioned best season with 39. Teams are now dialed in on him.
Yep.
That's the hard part. When you talk about learning, now you have to learn, this is how he scored the first couple of years until everyone's like, hey, we need to watch this guy. So now they're dialed in. Now you have to adjust and change slightly to unleash that in other areas because they're covering you every second. But obviously, we believe that he can unleash and he will. And to me, it's just that consistent word of a game in, game out all the time.
All right, this is from Nathan. Shane versus Mike, 2-on-2, a la the match. Who are you picking from the 21-22 Canes roster for your partner?
That's a great question. I'm giving Mike the first selection.
And I'm taking Brady Shea and hammering you.
We argued about that. I wish people could have gotten the original argument from us because it was a great one. And that's fine.
And you're still going to lose.
You got first pick because you are...
terrible.
Okay, not that good. You took Brady Shea. I said a guy, because I love playing out at Pine Hollow out near my home, a guy that I talk to the pros in there who comes out and grinds it is Sebastian Aho. Along with his compete level, Sebastian and I wipe you guys. Brady cannot carry you for 18.
Oh, yes, he can.
No.
Because my job will be, we show up at the hole, he stays hydrated, his clubs are clean. I will caddy. I won't have to play.
I mean, I think Sebastian Aho and I will have some instant chemistry out there.
Sure, absolutely you will. I mean, he's going to set you up. You're going to knock it down. I get that. But you're forgetting. You're still going to have to putt at some point in time. I'm in your head on this one right now. I'm also letting you play on a home course, too.
Yeah. You got first pick.
Pine Hollow's great. I'll play on the moon, wherever you want to go. Because I got Brady Shea, and I'm going to win this thing.
Yeah.
All I have to do is
it's a good challenge. I mean, we got to make it happen.
All I have to do, which, as you've seen, sometimes this is impossible for me, is not be a carcass being dragged around the course. Odds are that will happen. But I just got to show up for like 2 holes. That's it.
Yeah.
One on the front, one on the back 9. You're done.
We're ready. Sebastian and I are ready.
Brady Shea, high school quarterback, winner's mentality.
I think you're just going off of the Insta, it was a Twitter thing where you hit the 7-iron like 210 or something out of the rough.
What more do I need?
It's fine.
That's already in your head. No, that's already in your head.
That's why you picked him.
It's already in your head. If we're going to stay down this line, you will like this. We'll go back to it. It's the Canes softball team.
Oh, yeah.
This was a good question, it needs to be answered again. And people can hear it. If the Canes were a slow pitch softball team, who would pitch and who would man the crispy Storm Brew station? 5 stars, best friends for life. That's Mike B. Thank you. His thing is at call me Swaggy B. I will for this question. Again, if we're going players,
yep.
I think the answer is the same guy.
We did come down to that.
As for the pitcher and who would man the Storm Brew station, but we also then had a better answer for manning the Storm Brew station. But yep. Jordan Martinook would be both.
I completely agree. He would be pitch, probably run over, sling a few, and then back into the game.
Exactly. But you and I would more than likely end up manning the Storm Brew station.
Yeah, we would tag. He would just stay in there.
You need us? We're here.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Let's see what else we have. Just so we can keep this one short.
I also thought Tony D might be the pitcher.
No, Tony D would be the shortstop. You want an intense guy, athletic.
Yeah.
Can, chat a little bit at the other team.
Yeah.
That's your shortstop.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm going. The Chicago Wolves have won a Calder Trophy. So people are asking about Pyotr Kochetkov.
Pyotr
says that this kid seems to have it all. Skill, attitude, fight. Can't wait to see more of him. What are our thoughts on him? By the way, way to own the Calder Cup celebration. You come out, you got your beverage held high, you're ready to celebrate. I think that, and you and I disagreed on this, I think a touch. I think that Kochetkov would be best served, give him a full year in the AHL. We know he can play in the NHL, but let him be the man and give him 50 starts in the AHL. If you want to give him more, go ahead. If you like that, take it. If not, send it back. But you let him be the man in the AHL. You know you can call him up in the NHL if you need him. I don't know if his development is better served if, say, the Canes do something different with the goaltending position this offseason and you make him the backup. I think he's better served. You continue his development, and for lack of the better term, you position him to be a number one and you give him the workload of a number one goaltender in the AHL. I know that he's sort of had some big numbers in the KHL, but give him that workload of being a number one down in the minors with a really good team around him that the Wolves will put on the ice again next year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't fully disagree with that. You'd have to think coming in next year, Fred Anderson's your number one, completely healthy, ready to go, and hoping he does the exact same thing he did this year at the start of the year, Antti Raanta, the backup role. And I do agree in a sense, we thought about this and talked about it, Mike, after the podcast, that it takes almost a veteran-type mentality to be a backup, right? Yep. And being ready at any moment, not playing every day, not getting mentally frustrated as a guy like Antti Raanta did this year. So I agree with even if he's starting all the time in Chicago and something was to go sideways or Fred Anderson got dinged up,
yep,
you can bring Kochetkov up and play him.
Right.
You don't have to say, well, now we have to play Antti Raanta. That's not the case at all. You can bring up Kochetkov, put him right in the net. Antti Raanta's still your backup goaltender.
Right.
If you feel that he's playing that well and is ready for that spotlight, which we saw he was this year. But still young, still plenty of time, and, you know, that development is the number one thing. We've seen that from this organization for years. Never skipping a step. And as you mentioned, the step of being a number one in the American League, playing a heavy, heavy load can help him in that development process.
All right, one more hockey question. Would the Canes be better off signing better depth pieces or going for a big goal scorer, which would make them more top-heavy? Or possibly call up some guys from the AHL and sign some cheap vets to fill out the roster? So here's the deal. If you look at how this team is constructed right now, speaking of not skipping any steps, I think that Jack Drury is ready to take that next step.
A great playoffs for the Wolves.
So if the Canes are looking for a player that they have
fourth-line centerman. Can play the wing. You need him. He's a utility knife.
Power play, penalty kill. He showed that he's got all of those tools. So I think that you've got that player. The Canes do have some questions, like players like Josh Lavo, Stefan Nason, who were so good for the Wolves. Like, do you bring them back? Or because of the year that they had in the AHL, some team's going to look at them and say, well, you can play on our third or fourth line in the NHL. I'm going to go with, and there were a lot of questions, Shane, along the lines of what do the Canes need to do to take that step to win the Stanley Cup or, you know, be better. There was the one question about it being a pivotal year and whatever. And I get that point, and not mocking the question. It feels like it's a pivotal offseason for the Canes and the pressure on the front office. I don't think there's pressure on the front office to turn this team into a contender. I think that's where we had the issue with that. Matthew, with that question, the team's a contender. The fact that they're in the play, if you make the playoffs every year, you're a contender. I think it's to be a Stanley Cup champion. It's to go to win the whole thing, like what we saw with Colorado and Tampa. That's the question. And if I'm going to put a card on the table, give me that one more goal score that makes this team more dangerous. Give me, and we can point to certain examples of players, but I'm not throwing any free agent names out there, but when Nazem Kadri came back for Colorado, but they also had a Val Nichushkin, who, not that he is a super goal scorer, I'm just throwing out names. Like, you look at what Tampa had, you know, if they had Braden Point who can score, that makes them, they got there in the playoffs, and then Point gets hurt early on, but then they have other players who can score. I think if you can find that one dangerous goal scorer. I'm not saying you got to put him on the top line. Maybe you put him on the second line. Maybe you do put him on the top line.
Well, you just hope he gets chemistry with one of your centermen.
That's what I look for. That also being said, I think this organization is banking on one of our questions earlier. Andrei Svechnikov takes that step. He scored 30 this year. Maybe he's 35, 40 next year. Maybe Aho gets to 40 next year when you're talking about an elite goal scorer. But if you're saying I can do one thing, it's either add more to the bottom six or add one more player who's dangerous up top, I would add the player who's dangerous up top.
I agree. I don't think you can ever have enough goal scoring. If you had an elite level sniper and you add another 30 to 40 goals to your lineup, it's obvious you are better. But the other part that I alluded to and always warn our fans of, because that level goal scorer takes something to get, yep, whether it's just straight money or it's involved in a trade. So my, not warning, but just a reminder to the fans, what are you prepared to lose?
Right.
What are you prepared to give up that's on this roster right now to get that guy, to get that player that ultimately probably makes you better, but we know the heartstrings and love of our fans, sure, for every player that puts on that jersey.
Sure.
And so you have to remember something's going to go at the door.
You also, there's that fear factor, the fear of the unknown, of if we give up something, does that actually become better than what we bring in? When you're talking about giving up a player, that's what you have to roll the dice for. I mean, and if you go back, yes, now, looking at the trade that brought in Dougie Hamilton and Michael Ferland and the rights to Adam Fox, sure, Calgary can pat themselves on the back and say they won because of how Elias Lindholm has blossomed into this center. And, you know, Noah Hanifin is a constant NHL blue liner. He's not going anywhere. But at the time, the deal was exactly what the Hurricanes needed because Dougie Hamilton brought something to the table that they didn't have as a dynamic defenseman.
Right.
And the Michael Ferland brought Ferland. Yeah, exactly. So, and now the Canes have moved to a different spot.
Right. And I think in that deal, I mean, I told someone right now, wouldn't Adam Fox look great in a Hurricanes jersey? Like, that was the roll of the dice that they hoped they were going to be the answer to, right, for Adam Fox. And it just didn't work.
Yeah.
He had that leverage, and I don't agree with that leverage these young players have.
Especially college players. That's a loophole that's got to be closed.
Correct. So they made a play, and it didn't work in that sense. But, sure, I mean, it's great that Elias Lindholm had that year last year. Now, again, does he do it again this year? We'll wait and see. Noah Hanifin's fine. But, I mean, I think the Canes defensemen are just as good and deep without him.
But it goes back to what you're saying. To bring in a player, you have to give up something. And there is always a chance that what you send away turns out to have a longer stay at a place. Or
right, so maybe everyone's like, oh, now you lost Dougie Hamilton. Well, you brought in Tony DeAngelo, who had a better year than Dougie Hamilton.
Right. And the money that you didn't have there is going to go in other places. So it's all set up. Let's end it with a happier question for me and you. The PGA Tour or the LIV Tour for us, Shane? That's from John Stevens.
I'm a PGA guy. History, structure. I get it. I get what these guys, I mean, I posed the question to you, Mike, the first time we read that. If I came up to you and said, hey, I'm going to give you $150 million, you want to go over here and do this? Are you able to just walk away and say, no thanks?
For me, it's simple. Where am I in my career? How old am I when you're asking me this question?
Yeah.
Everyone's mad right now.
Everyone's mad at Phil. Phil's never going to win on tour again.
That's just it.
So he wasn't even close to making the cut at the Open.
So he's going to show up, play these 10, 12 events, and make all of the money that he would have made if he played 35 events, and probably more.
That's the other part these guys look at, and, you know, is the schedule. And playing on the PGA Tour is a grind because of how they have the point structure set up and all of those things that come with your card. And it is hard. And, you know, I just wish that it wasn't when you look at the LIV Tour and, you know, what's behind it and
that's
the back and all
that. That's the big part of all of this.
It is extremely disappointing to me that the players didn't just all, again, the NHL has a union for a reason. The Players Association, during the years of strikes and lockout, the hardest thing to do is to remain structured together as a union. If the PGA Tour players would have just came together as a massive group and said, we need to fix this, and the PGA Tour said, no, we're good like this, and they said, well, we're not playing. You know, do some of the issues that they have, and they do have issues. They have issues not with the money necessarily, but with the schedule and some of these other things that from an outsider looking in, be like, why didn't you guys just all go get in a room and battle it out? You know, was the PGA strong arm that hard saying, we're not doing anything, we're good?
But you mentioned something. The one thing that the PGA does, they could have come up with the live money, but that means all of the programs that they sponsor, all of the other tours that they put their money behind.
And growing the game.
Gone. Or cut dramatically. Not in half, like by 90%.
Guys playing on those lower tours could have made it.
But when somebody asks that question, if it's me now, 46-year-old me, and say I had a career on the PGA Tour, but just right now, yeah, older me, I'll take the money. I mean, I get people will bat their eyes at it, but Shane laid it out why. 25-year-old me, 26-year-old me, no, I'm playing on the PGA Tour because that's where the history is. That's where I want to play. I'm caught up in that. But if I'm at this point in my career and I've had my PGA career tour and I've got a win or two on the tour, which Shane's seen me play golf, so that would never happen. Making a cut would just be wonderful for me. Yeah, I'd go from there, but that's that. We got the draft next week that we need to talk about, Shane.
In Montreal.
Thank you. Oh, les belles Provence. Will you be here? Where am I going to track you down? Where are we going to record the podcast?
It's Thursday, Friday, right?
Yeah. So we need to do it like on Wednesday would be my guess.
Yeah, we'll be in town. I'm going to take a couple days here to rest after our great summer camp, rest my feet, ice them a little bit.
You look good.
Thanks, buddy.
You look in shape. And you got ready. The stride, too.
The first day was a little tight. But, you know, I'm going to be back because next week, July 8th, we'll kick off first goal. So, you know, 600 young new hockey players are ready to go. I saw a couple of them skating this week. Best thing ever, watching these kids burn around out there and just crash. So we'll be kicking that off that Friday night. So I'm going to be around Thursday.
Yeah, we'll do Wednesday. We'll do a little draft preview.
I got to study up on our players. We don't have a first-round pick, so it's kind of boring for the Canes. Yeah. Unless we pull a trade off this week.
Well, maybe they won't.
Not an insider. Yeah, I was just throwing that out there being funny.
Look, that would be us burying the lead as we get to 52 minutes in the podcast. And
yes.
Shane throws that one out. But maybe we'll talk to somebody who makes the decisions about what the Canes do at a draft.
Yeah, get the inside scoops.
See what that, and then we'll get it all next week.
When we talk to one of these people, my question is, you don't have a first-round pick. Do you have to go sit at that table for the hours?
Sure.
Why?
Because you can make a trade.
Make it for my hotel room.
You could. Like, it all depends. Now,
I guess if you trade into the first round, you have to be there, right?
That's why you need to be there. And that's where a lot of – and this is going to be the first time that everybody gets back together and does the draft. Mm. Right? They're not doing it virtual anymore. Everybody's going to be there.
Fans coming in?
I believe so. Yeah.
Be a great time.
Just like they announced the preseason schedule for the Carolina Hurricanes. 6 games starts in September.
Wow.
3 at home, 3 on the road.
6.
6 of us. Yes.
How many did we have last year? 4?
4. Keep that quiet.
We're getting it up to 6.
You got to get it up to 6.
I forgot about that.
Thank you.
That's another podcast.
Yes, let's just I don't know what you're talking about. Let's just, can we?
We had some intense scrimmages that counted.
Yes, they did. So, but it all starts on September 27th. And the Canes aren't messing around. 27th, 28th, and 29th. 3 days in a row. Tampa, Florida. Tampa at home to kick it off. Then at Tampa, at Florida. Then October 1st, you know, a couple of days off. Florida at home. Columbus at home. Close it out in Buffalo.
Man, you better. I mean, I don't know if your voice is going to be able to handle the radio call.
I'm ready.
3 days in a row?
Yeah.
Is that even allowed?
Yes.
It's not allowed for a player. That's 3-3 is not allowed in the
NHL. I'm fine with it. I'm good with it.
Radio broadcaster is just taking abuse.
I'll go 4-4.
Let's go on strike.
I'll go 5-5. I'll go 82 in a row if you let me.
I need to get in a room with somebody.
Yeah. You go get in that room. Let me know how it works out.
I'm going to make them buy you a bag of Werther's.
Okay. No, I actually bought like the huge bag of Ricola, so we're good to
Ricola.
Go.
Ricola.
It helps the voice.
I should be on a commercial.
You should.
I love Ricolas.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're a big fan of the Ricola.
Yeah.
I'm good with whatever.
Little honey ones.
The Halls honey lemon is usually the way that I go.
Yeah, Halls are good. More Halls make me feel like I'm sick. Like, that's what you got to go to when you're really sick.
Well, you'll be happy.
The Ricolas are just tasty.
No, I went to the Costco and bought the, like, the lifetime supply of Ricola.
Really?
You know how they have those bags?
Are they single wrap, though?
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You're going to leave them in the booth?
No. I'll bring them as necessary.
I'm going to need you to fire one down to the corner.
I can do that.
See if you can make it to me.
Well, I got the arm. See if we can get it down there for you. All right. Well, that'll do it for this episode. 216 part 2.
Hopefully this one works, yeah, everybody.
I'm hoping. So if not, yes, we did.
We didn't forget about
week.
You.
We did it. I hate when people get mad. It's inconsistent. Like, we can't. Technology is all we can do.
Not our fault.
Do our best.
So you can't do live podcasts, do you?
We could.
We might.
But we'd have to stream it through the site.
And not sure how that works.
Yeah, it's going to be.
We have enough trouble plugging this thing in.
And that's going to be, you know, one of us is going to say something we shouldn't, and then where we go from there. But we'll be on site again eventually. We're going to do one at R&D where we'll get people around us, R&D yeah. Brewing.
Maybe when it gets a little warmer.
Sure. Sure. Can it get warmer? I feel like we're on the sun.
Sure can.
Oh, God.
It's only June. July 1 today.
Yeah, it's July 1st
Happy
today.
Canada Day.
Yeah.
I almost forgot. Yay. As we sign off, everyone enjoy a storm brew. It's Canada Day.
Raise a storm brew to our friends
enjoy
up north.
Enjoy your evening.